Okay, go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you need a Bible, throw your hand up in the air. And we've got some guys back here. We've got some of our deacons. Let's give it up for the deacons, actually. How about that? Yeah, come on. Yeah, they're going to be walking up and down the aisles, right, guys? Yeah, walking around. Put your hand there. They'll give you a Bible. You're going to want a Bible. And if you don't own a Bible, by the way, if you don't have a Bible at home, or if you know somebody that needs a Bible, take that home. You can have it. It's a gift. We want everyone to have a copy of the Word of God. So if you are visiting or if you are new, just in case you didn't know, we're actually going through the book of Matthew, verse by verse, really going through it fast, too. I'm kidding. Anyways, we're going through the book of Matthew. But today, we're going to take a little detour. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you guys didn't know, some of the leaders and pastors from the church went to a leadership conference early last week. I wanted to just kind of bring back some of this stuff that we shared and share with you guys. And my hope and prayer is that it will be an encouragement for all of us here. But the main point is that trials show our weakness, don't they? Anybody ever been through a trial, persecution, hard time, just crazy hard stuff in life? About four of us, okay? But yeah, it kind of brings out weaknesses. I kind of get a kick out of driving old vehicles. I like old Ford trucks. And my latest project is a 91 Ford. And I thought, and kind of got it done, got it on the road, got it going. There were still a couple of kinks to work out. But I was going over to visit my mom and dad over in Redmond. And I thought, I'm just going to drive it over there because sooner or later, you got to put it to the test, you know. And come what may, whatever happens to break, we're going to find the weak points, you know. So Everett and I, we took off. We're going down the freeway at the speed limit, of course. Anyways, we get about halfway over there, put into the test, and the alternator went out in Portland. And so we had to find a parts house, put an alternator on the parking lot. I'm like, oh, okay, all right, we got through that. So we get over to my mom and dad's at like 11 o'clock at night, and I get out of the truck, and it's leaking antifreeze all over the ground. I'm like, that's great. Okay. So that's no big deal. You just leave the radiator cap a little loose, and you can drive it. So then we hung out with them for a day or two. And so I knew there were some weak points, right? So we get in the truck to leave the morning we're going to leave, and there's no clutch because the master cylinder for the clutch went out. So I kind of jerry-rigged that, got it together. The point is this, a silly story, but the point is this, is when you put things to the test, there's weaknesses exposed and things get broken. And the same is true of us. When we go through trials, hardships, tests in life, sometimes we get broken, don't we? We feel broken. The conference we went to was geared toward more pastors and, you know, ministry workers and leadership. But this passage we're going to be in today, it was taught by two different guys. After the first day, I just knew, like, I think the Lord would want to share this with us. And in this section of 2 Corinthians, in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, he's writing to a church, he's speaking of the new covenant that's better than the old covenant. In other words, we don't follow the rules and regulations of the Old Testaments and make animal sacrifices and those types of things in order to be right with God. There's nothing we could do to make ourselves right with God, to wash away our own sins. But rather, we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. We've been forgiven through the blood of Jesus, the new covenant. And we accept that forgiveness as a gift from him. That's the new covenant. It's by grace. And we allow him to take charge of our lives. And after that, we willingly choose to follow him. So in other words, we're forgiven based on what Jesus did for me and for you. And that after we're forgiven, after we've been given new life, after we've been saved, then we make a decision, I want to please God with my life from now on. And he's working that out in our lives, isn't he? We're not all perfect, but that is we're not perfect practically, but positionally, we're seen perfect by God. We're seen totally as clean and forgiven as we ever will be because of Jesus Christ. Amen? And Paul, as he goes on, he's describing to the church there the difficulties that come with being in ministry. And it was kind of a theme at the conference, was the difficulty of pastoral ministry, and that the power of God really can only be seen through our weakness and brokenness when things get broken. It's when we come to the end of ourselves that his strength is put on display. Not my strength, but his strength, or our strength, but we want the strength of the Lord to be on display. And so I just want to share a little bit of what we learned. So if you were at the conference, sorry. Hopefully there'll be something new here for you, an encouragement, a reminder perhaps. But whether you're a pastor or not, these things are true for every Christian and can apply these things to our lives. And so have a little bit of an outline for the section we'll be in. And let's just go ahead and read it today. And actually, you know what? Why don't we stand and read together just to give reverence to the Word of God and attention to what's being said. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading in verse 5. I know the screen here says verse 6, but let's start in verse 5, and we'll read through verse 11. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. Flesh. Lord, what powerful and convicting words this morning that your Holy Spirit, that you, Lord, saw fit to record by the hand of Paul for us today. Lord, with every person and every life represented in this room, and every trial and every trouble and every question mark, every doubt and fear, Lord, I pray that you would bring encouragement and bring peace, and Lord, that you would guide us and teach us by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. So starting in verse 5, he tells them, he says, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. The message of the gospel is simple. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he boils it down to this: for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And what Paul's saying here is, look, we're not proclaiming ourselves. I'm not proclaiming Paul the apostle as the Savior, or me, or you know, any other of the apostles, but Jesus as the Savior. And he gives a simple illustration here in verse 6. He says, God is the one who said, let light shine out of darkness. And the God who spoke in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, who simply spoke into existence light. Now that is powerful. That's a powerful God. He says that same God has shown the light of the knowledge of the glory of God into your hearts. Remember, Paul's writing here to a church, to those who are Christians who have accepted Jesus into their lives and received forgiveness. And in other words, he's saying, look, our hearts and our souls, who we are, they were separated from God because of our sins. But after accepting the gospel, our eyes have been opened. The eyes of our heart, if you will, have been opened. The light of God's love, the light of the gospel has shined into our dark hearts, shining brightly in us and to those around us. I think of it as like a dark house. Anybody ever get home late at night and you can't see anything, right? And so you walk inside and you flip the lights on. It lights up everything inside. And also when it's dark at night, you flip the lights on your house and that light shines out the windows, doesn't it? And it lights up the flower beds right in front of your window and it lights up your lawn. You know, when you get home from a trip and you're like, oh, now I gotta vacuum and mow the lawn or whatever. But that's the idea, is this light has shined inside us and it shines out from us. It's a picture of us, the gospel in us. And in verse 7, he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. What's the treasure? Jesus, the gospel. Yeah. The treasure, actually, he says here, is the, those are all right answers, but it is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, and that is through the gospel, right, through the good news. So we have Jesus in us, the gospel in us, the light of the gospel. That's the real treasure, and we are possessors of it if we've put our faith in Christ. And he says, the treasure in jars of clay. Does anybody have any other translations for that, jars of clay? Earthen vessels, any others? I think another one says clay pots, perhaps. But yeah, the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of Jesus Christ is in jars of clay. And earthen vessels were very common in that day. They were actually made of dirt, essentially, clay or earth. You'd dig it out of the ground. And the point of this illustration that Paul's using here is that there's nothing special about earthen vessels. They were very common. They were actually very fragile. They would crack super easy. It was kind of like the first century equivalent to like Ziploc bags. Like if you needed to store something, you would store it in an earthen vessel, a clay pot. Just like a Ziploc bag, you throw it away. I think maybe, I don't know, we get a few uses out of Ziploc bags at our house. But that's kind of how it was. They got a few uses out of the earthen vessels, and it was toss it and get a new one. And the reason, he says, that the treasure was stored in such a common or easily broken vessel is so that it would show the surpassing power of God. In other words, you wouldn't see this treasure in a vessel that was like really ornate and really cool looking. Your eyes would be drawn more to the vessel, wouldn't it? Maybe. But no, when the vessel is made out of clay, it would make you want to look inside and see the treasures inside. And the earthen vessels here that he's talking about, it's just an illustration of who we are. Right? We're common. We're sometimes fragile, aren't we? And, our culture we live in, the world we live in, would tell us that we have to look a certain way, wouldn't it? The world would tell us, well, you have to drive a certain kind of car if you really want to, you know, make an impact, or you really have to be real intelligent, or you have to have your life put together to really have an impact on those around you, to have an influence. around you. If you really want to show the glory of God, maybe people might say, you better look good. We want to be good witnesses, right? There's nothing wrong with looking good necessarily, but the Bible says right here in these verses that we're just common, that the real treasure is what's inside. The real treasure is, can be hidden, perhaps sometimes is not seen. And in these pots that are easily broken, it's the treasure that is supposed to shine out of us. And so then in verse 8, he describes what his life and ministry is like. And he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. See, Paul, in his life of ministry, he faced abandonment. He faced persecution. He faced multiple death threats, attempted murder, shipwreck, imprisonment. And these are just some of the highlights. That's just some of the stuff that's recorded. But it says here, he wasn't destroyed. Not destroyed. Now imagine, I was thinking about this a little bit, if the Corinthian church, or maybe whatever church Paul happened to be visiting at or teaching at the time, and the people of the church were going out and go, oh man, you should come down and listen to Paul speak. Oh, really? Well, tell me about him. Well, he's had multiple attempts on his life. All of his friends abandoned him. He's just alone. Everybody left him. Everywhere he goes, he causes a riot and gets kicked out of town. He gets death threats a lot, too. He's been to prison. Yeah, he's an ex-con. Actually, he's in custody right now. We're hoping he gets out so he can come make the Sunday morning service. He's kind of short. He's not very eloquent. He's kind of sickly, too. I don't know. You should come listen to him. I don't know. I have to confess. I would be like, I think I'll shop around. I don't know if that really sounds like a guy I want to listen to. Maybe I'll find another church to go to. You know, we're looking around and, you know. But the point is this, is Paul says, he says, look, I've had some hard times, but I wasn't destroyed. And he goes on to say in verse 10, he says, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. As he was walking around and ministering and witnessing and preaching, he was carrying in his body, death, affliction, perplexity. What is going on? Why is this happening? Why is this so hard? Why are these people want to kill me? Everywhere he went, everything he did. Why? He tells us here in the rest of verse 10, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Why is it so hard? Why does everybody want to kill me? I just want to give up. Why did everybody leave me? It feels like death. It feels like death walking around carrying the death of Jesus. And he says this, because through those things, through that hardship, through that affliction, Jesus is clearly seen in my life. And then in verse 11, he just sort of reinforces this point. He says, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Why does it have to be this way? Why was it this way for Paul?
so that the true life, the life of Jesus, could be made manifest. That word manifest just means to make something clearly evident or obvious. How many of you guys want the life of Jesus to be clearly evident or obvious in your life? Yeah, I do too. And I really want that to be true in my life. But what Paul is teaching us here is that's through affliction. It's through trial. It's through hardship. How was the resurrection of Jesus made possible? He had to die. Jesus had to die before he could raise from the dead. And in the same way, we have to die to ourselves, die to our own lives, for the life of Jesus to be made manifest in our lives. We like to hunt a lot, my family and I, and we have a wall tent. We take the wall tent out and go elk hunting, deer hunting. And when I was in college, this is like 5 years ago, this guy gave me this wood stove. And it was a little longer than that. Anyways, he gave me this wood stove to go in the tent. It was really old, but it had a bunch of cracks in it. And we started using it, of course. But when the fire would flare up and we'd be in the tent at night, all the light coming out of the cracks in the stove, you know, or sometimes you leave the door open a little bit, you can see all the light flickering off the walls of the tent because all the light would come through the cracks. And the more we used it, you know, heat up, cool down, heat up, cool down. The cracks would get bigger. The tent would get a little brighter. And even at night, it was like there was just so bright in there because there were so many cracks in the stove. And eventually, we had to weld the cracks up and fix it all up because it just got too hot. It would burn way too hot. But at that point, no light could be seen because all the cracks were sealed up. There was a guy at the conference called Ray Dash, and he had a church in Newark, New Jersey, in a pretty tough part of town, from what I understand. And he was a very, very interesting guy to listen to, full of the Holy Spirit. And when we were there, he was talking about wounds. And as we go through life and we go through trials, we go through hardship, sometimes we get hurt. You know, we get beat up a little. We go through trials and afflictions. These earthen vessels that we are get dropped, kicked around, and cracks form. The constant heat of life and spiritual battle breaks us sometimes, doesn't it? And sometimes it hurts so bad, or you don't know what's going on. Perhaps like Paul, he's just perplexed, we're afflicted. Sometimes it's just like, I can't take anymore. I don't think I can hurt anymore. I don't think I can be broken one more time. I don't know what to do, Lord. Why is this happening? Anybody ever felt like that? You ever been hurt? You ever been wounded? There's a few different ways sometimes we react. Sometimes I react. I had a friend growing up, and he had a saying, when the going gets tough, give up. I've shared this before with you guys, but that was kind of what he said, and it was kind of a joke, but that's kind of how he lived his life. Things would get hard, and you go, well, whatever, and you just give up. And that's tempting sometimes, isn't it, when we're going through trials, when we get hurt, when we get broken. Just want to give up. Sometimes we react with suppression, right? We want to hide it. Oh, this thing's really hard in my life. I don't know why this is happening. It's crushing me. It's breaking me. But, you know, when somebody asks, how you doing? How's that thing? Oh, it's fine. It's okay. Yeah, it's fine. It's all right. I'm just, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, no, it's all right. Yeah, it's going to be okay. And we just kind of hide it. No, we just kind of marginalize it. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to deal with that. I'm just going to ignore it, and hopefully it'll go away. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes we do that as well. We say everything's fine. It's fine. It's fine. When it's not fine. Or the example that Ray shared with us, it's kind of the same thing. We just get up, dust ourselves off. I don't have time. I don't have time to hurt. I don't have time to deal with the affliction. I got to keep moving. I got a busy life. You've been knocked down, you've been hurt, you've been wounded. Deal with it. Get up. Keep going. Strengthen. Be strong. Right? It's easy to try and do that as well. It is true that we are strengthened in our affliction, but there's a difference between God strengthening us and just ignoring what God wants to do through some afflictions. Most of the time when I do that, it's because I just don't want to be seen as weak. Oh man, that must have been really hard. Yeah, it was hard, but it's okay. I'm getting stronger. We're going, we're moving forward. And that's just a front because I'm just broken. And I don't want people to know that I'm broken. And we feel that crack starting to form, or that break opening up. And we try to just cover it up. Because we don't want other people to see it. But what Paul is saying here in this section is that our flesh, our outward bodies, who we are on the outside, outward appearance, intelligence, credentials, clothes, career, whatever it is that's being broken, that's being hurt, it's not the treasure. That's not what's supposed to look good. The treasure's inside. It's the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's supposed to look good. That does look good. That shines out when we're afflicted, when we're perplexed, when we're struck down. That's how the glory of God is seen in our lives. Just like what Paul says. He says, I'm carrying in my body death, affliction, persecution. Why? So people can see Jesus. So Jesus will be made manifest, obvious, evident. And guys, it's only when we let our brokenness, I can't believe this. Sorry. It's broken. You can see my brokenness in the slideshow not working. It's only when people can see our brokenness that the light of Christ shines through. And Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he is pleading with the Lord about an affliction that the Lord has allowed to be in his life. And he says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. How many of you guys have ever pleaded with the Lord to take something away from you? Take it away, Lord. I don't want to deal with this. You're in good company. But he, that is the Lord, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul had learned the right response to trials, tribulations, afflictions, questions, fears, perplexities. The right response was to delight in them, boast in them. Dare I say, accept them. Why? So that the power of God would rest on him. One of the guys was teaching this through this verse, and he goes, Paul learned how to do this. I haven't learned how to do this. How many of you guys have learned how to do this? I delight in my affliction. Yes! Not one hand. Yeah, it's hard, huh? Paul says, I delight in my afflictions. You know, when something hard comes my way, I just want to get out of it. I'm like Paul, I'm like, God, please take this away from me. Get me out of this mess. I don't want to go through hardship. I don't want to go through this trial. But if God brings you to it, can I just encourage you? If you're going through a hardship or something you don't want to go through right now, did you know that God allowed that in your life? He didn't necessarily ordain it or send it your way or whatever. He's like, I'm going to. No, but he allowed it. He could have stopped it from coming into your life, but he didn't. He said, no, yeah, I'm going to. He allowed it into your life. And he sees it. He knows it. And if he brings you to it, he's going to bring you through it. There's a purpose in it. In fact, I would suggest to you that if you give up and get out and check out, that if I give up and check out, that we will actually be short-circuiting how God wants to show his strength. You're actually going to be shorting yourself. I'm actually going to be shorting myself. But when we admit and even embrace our weakness and say, Lord, I am weak. Lord, I am being afflicted. I am being crushed. Lord, this is the thing that's crushing me right now. I'm broken. It's breaking me. When we come to the end of our rope, that's when God's power is unleashed in our lives. Do you believe that this morning? Sometimes I believe that. Sometimes I do. And so there was another point at the conference we were asked, what's your wound? What's your hardship? Do you need God's power? And I'll be honest with you, I didn't really know. I was just like, I don't really have any wounds. You know, I'm sure I probably had some wounds or whatever, but I don't know. I was just like, what do you think? You know, one of the guys said, what are you thinking about right now? And I was just like, I don't think I'm thinking about anything right now, literally, you know. But he goes, he just encouraged us. He's like, hey, just think about it. Talk to the Lord about it. And so I did that. And a lot of you guys know this, some of you may not, but I went from being a mechanic, self-employed mechanic. I worked alone, spent a lot of time by myself. I managed myself. I could barely manage that. I worked on machines, which were pretty predictable. And I wasn't bad at it either. And then I went from that to being a pastor. And it still sounds even weird to even say that. Like, you're like, oh, what do you do? Like, I'm a pastor. I feel like I'm like an out-of-body experience, like looking at myself like, you're a pastor, I guess. Well, and it's just been a really big change. And I just have realized that it's kind of an adjustment. I don't know. And he's testing me. And he's showing me some weaknesses. And there's some areas in my life that
are kind of cracked up, I think. And I just realized that and realized, I guess, and this isn't like, oh, poor Eric, whatever, you know. But I just realized that I was kind of just like trying to suppress it and hide it and, well, I'll get better and it'll be fine. And, you know, we'll keep moving forward. And it's like, and the Lord was like, no, that's what I'm going to use to show my power. I don't want you to strengthen it. I don't want you to seal up the crack. I don't want you to hide it. That is how I'm going to show my power. Do you want? And then the Lord just sort of encouraged me and asked me, like, is that, do you want the power of God to rest on you or not? And I do. I mean, I think I do. I do. Yes, I do. You guys know what I mean. You know, Michelangelo, he said this famous quote from him. He said, I saw the angel in the marble, and I carved until I set him free. I just love that. To complete the sculpture, he just broke off the pieces that didn't belong there. And God is doing the same thing with me. And I believe God is doing the same thing with every one of us here this morning. And if he's not, he wants to. Do you want the power of God to rest on you or not? And so I would ask you, what's your trial? What's your wound? What's your weakness? What's the crack in your pot? Are you trying to cover it up? Are you trying to seal it up? Because God's light won't shine through if you do. Are you about to give up? Don't do it. And maybe some of you, I really believe that some of you this morning, you, when I ask that question, you're like, this is my trial. This is my thing. I am perplexed. And some of you may be like me, where you're just like, I don't know. I mean, it's going pretty good, I think. I think my life's pretty good. I don't know if I have a trial. I just want to encourage you, talk to the Lord about that this morning. Ask him. Say, search my heart, Lord. Is there something that I'm trying to marginalize in my life? Is there something that I'm just fooling myself? Is there a crack? Is there a break in this clay pot that I've just been trying to cover up, that you want to shine through? And he might show you what that is. Some of you were like, yeah, I don't even have to ask the Lord. I know what that is. Before, we're gonna do a couple more songs. We're going to have a little more time at the end to pray and just talk to the Lord and do business with the Lord. But there was another guy who was sharing about going through trials and going through hard times. And sometimes he said, man, I just feel like this is just it. Like, I'm not going to get through it. And he was telling us about how he likes to watch suspenseful TV shows with his wife. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, like mystery shows or whatever, but his wife just hates it. And she just doesn't like that stuff. And they're watching the show and his wife's like, I can't watch. Oh, they're going to die. Oh, they're in this, you know, they're in some pickle and they can't get out and it's all suspenseful and whatever. And he paused the TV and he goes, honey, they're in the next two episodes. They're going to make it through. Okay. Why do you not think, you know, why are you so scared? It's a TV show. Okay. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if our life isn't a TV show, but it's kind of like that. Because God has a proven track record. God is faithful. God is powerful. If you're in that place today where you're broken and you're like, I think I'm not going to make it. God's not going to come through. Can I tell you, you're in the next two episodes. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. Don't check out. Don't eject. Accept it and allow God to work through your life. So I'm going to invite the worship team up here. And we're just going to do that. We're just going to play a few songs. And I think here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to dim the lights. I'd like to have our prayer team around the room. And we don't do this very often, but I want to have, if we have some elders or some deacons or someone to come up front here, maybe we can grab these tables and move them out of the way. Just move behind the stage or something. Let's have a couple people up front here. And if you're in a place this morning of affliction, I'm going to ask you to come up to the front and ask for prayer. If you feel like you're just like, that's me. I need the power of God to shine through my life. I'm broken. I'm this, I'm that. And you just want to do business with the Lord, you want to meet with the Lord, come up to the front and get prayer. And if you need prayer for anything, we want to just be available. But before we do that, I want you to just talk to God in your own words. We're just going to play some instrumentals and just talk to the Lord. Open up your heart to him. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. In just the next little bit of time we have, that's what we're going to do. We're going to pour out our heart before him quietly. Let him be your refuge this morning. Let him shine his power through you this morning. Amen.